Have you ever had somebody that has been on your heart that you feel like that you just need to tell about Jesus? Maybe it's a friend, a coworker, specifically family members, but yet there was that hesitancy to do so. And a lot of times that hesitancy was because you didn't exactly know what it was that they would say in return to your witness. You didn't know how they were going to act or react when you began to tell them about Christ. Well, today we want to look at some passages that come out of Acts chapter 10, and we're going to take a look at two men, two different individuals, one who was a witness and one who received that witness. And I hope and pray that you will understand some positives along this way to help you in your journey in being able to share the gospel with others. Grab that Bible, turn it to Acts chapter 10. I'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, I want to welcome you to the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I trust and pray that not only your day is going well, but you are counting God's blessings in your life along the way. Now, just a little while ago, I kind of posed a question to you that stated, has there ever been somebody in your life, whether it was family, friend, or somebody that you knew, maybe a neighbor, that you really felt like sharing the gospel? You were being led to share the gospel to them, but you were hesitant because you didn't exactly know how they were going to react to your witness. Now, when we go back over to Acts chapter 10, we're introduced to two different men. You know, one of those men is a guy by the name of Cornelius, and the other one is one that you've probably heard of throughout your life, is that good old apostle named Peter. But we're going to take a look at some things that were going on that really coincide with today. Now, as we meet Cornelius in Acts 10, Cornelius was a soldier who wanted salvation. That is something that he wanted, something that he desired. He was a centurion, and he was actually heading a very select troop of Italian soldiers. And Cornelius had many, many good qualities. Now, I want you to hold on to that thought for just a second, because I want to carry you over to our text, which is Acts chapter 10, particularly verses 1 and 2, and it reads like this. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Now, that sounds like a good guy. That sounds like a person that you would look at, and maybe even by example, you would say, well, that's a guy right there that loves the Lord. That's a guy right there that follows the Lord. Cornelius, according to these two verses that we just read, had some good qualities. He was a devout, God-fearing, praying man. He was generous to the poor. It says that he gave charitable gifts. And Cornelius was very sincere in his seeking. The only problem was Cornelius was lost. Now, let me go back and put this in a little bit of context. I cannot tell you the number of times that in today's day and age that if I were to ask somebody a question and I would say, hey, well, tell me in your personal opinion, what do you understand that it takes for a person to go to heaven? About 9 times out of 10, what I hear is, well, I'm a good person. I treat other people good, and I do good things, and I give to this, and I give to that. There's this idea that in today's day and age that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. Well, if that's the way you think today, let me dismiss that according to the Word of God. The bottom line is the people who go to heaven are the people who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. Now, following Him should cause us to do good things. But remember that verse that you've probably heard over and over again. And if you've watched this broadcast, you've heard it many times. The Bible tells us that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, get this, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not something that you can do. You don't gain status with the Lord because you are a good person. Now, following the Lord should cause you to be a good person. It's not the other way around. Being a good person gets you to heaven. It is following the Lord causes you to be the type of person that He wants us to be, and that being a good person according to the Word of God. So what you've got is Cornelius, who is a guy who is very sincere in his seeking, and he is seeking, but he's lost. But now, thanks be to God, there's something else that we see. You see, in and of ourselves, we really don't know how to seek the Savior, but thanks be to God that through the Holy Spirit seeks us. You see, Cornelius is told to send some men to Joppa to find the other guy we want to talk about today, and that is Peter. Let me carry you down to verses 3 through 8 of Acts chapter 10. They read like this. It says, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before the Lord. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those waited on him continually. So he had explained all these things to them, and he sent them to Joppa. Now, what's very interesting is that God already knows what's going on. He knew what was going on in Cornelius's life, and he knows what's going on in your life. So essentially, he is in the very beginning stages in these passages of bringing these two men together for a very specific reason that we will read here a little bit later on. Now, another very interesting point that we need to make at this particular juncture is that Cornelius was obedient to the Lord's leading in his life. Yet he didn't tell him why he was going to be going down there. He just said, "Here's what you're going to need to do. You're going to go. You're going to seek out a guy." Didn't say what any of it was all about, other than Cornelius is told to send men to Joppa to find this guy named Peter. There is a problem. What is the problem? Peter, that these men are going to see, doesn't think or believe that the Gentiles can be saved. You have to remember that back then salvation was only for the Jews. You know, Paul was one of those who colored outside the lines, probably one of the first ones to color outside the lines and allow preaching of the gospel to those that were Gentiles. Yeah, even those first apostles believed that the gospel was only for the Jewish community. So there were some barriers that had to be broken down. Now you got to remember, Cornelius is sending his servants down to find Peter, and Peter doesn't think that Gentiles are allowed to be saved. So you can see where there could be some problems along the way. Now, the one thing that I love to be able to interject at this point is, yes, there is always going to be something that doesn't seem like it's going to be possible when God asks you to do something, but let me make you the promise. God has already gone before you. God has already straightened the curves in the road. He has already flattened the mountains, and he has already got a plan. All we have to do is be faithful and obedient to what God has called us to do. And Cornelius did exactly that. He got the servants. He sent them down there. He was sending them to go, and I'm going to use my country terms, to go fetch Peter and bring Peter back. Now, at this point, Peter doesn't even think the Gentiles could be saved. You know, now we got to think about Peter's witness as well as ours in the fact that it needs to be broadened. One of the biggest controversies still to this day in 2024 is racism. You know, I mean, how many times do we sit back and maybe we don't witness to a certain sector of our community or our sphere of influence because of the color of their skin? Maybe it's because of their socioeconomic positions along the way, whatever the case may be. And by the way, when I say socioeconomic, I'm not just saying somebody who is poor or has less than we do. Yeah, if you stop and think about it, we have trouble witnessing to those who are on a higher socioeconomic level than we are as well, because we feel like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to irritate them. You know, like they've got something that I want. Well, you know, hey, the bottom line is Jesus died for their soul just the same as he did for you. The money that they've got, the influence that they have is not going to heaven with them, and the ground around the cross is all level. So Peter's witness, as well as mine and yours, we need to broaden that. We need to think about all those lost people in society today, and particularly those that are in our sphere of influence that need Jesus. It's no accident that you are where you are. It's no accident that you work where you work. There's no accident that you live in the community that you live in. There's no accident that you come in contact with people on a daily basis that you see. God has placed them in your life because they need to hear your story in some shape, form, or fashion. So God gets Peter ready to broaden his witness. In verses 9 through 18 of our text of Acts chapter 10, one of the things that we see was that Peter was already a successful witness. When we think about his past, when you think about in Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost, Peter was the one who preached and he had 3,000 converts. Man, I tell you, I'd call that a successful revival. Yeah, you preach and 3,000 people come to know Jesus. That was in Acts chapter 2. Well, then in Acts chapter 3, Peter's at the temple and he had prayed and brought healing to a lame man. Now, when I say he brought it to him, in other words, through Peter, God did an incredible thing in a man's life. And people were seeing Peter's godly influence. In other words, he was a representative of the Most High God to those he was coming in contact with, and that was the way they viewed it. Now, also in Acts chapter 3, after his second sermon, 5,000 people were saved. Folks, I can tell you right now that there are some people and preachers or whatever you want to call them, witnesses, that have never led 5,000 people to Jesus before in their whole life or in their whole ministry. And here's Peter in the span of a couple of chapters that has led 7,000 people. What would we say before at Pentecost? Actually, there were 3,000 that were saved, and then there were 5,000 that were saved over in chapter 3. That's 8,000 people that he led to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In and of himself, he looks like a tremendous success. Now Peter is given a vision to broaden his witnessing, including to the Gentiles. Now, I want to pause right there for just a moment because we have to consider one of the most well-known, most quoted passages in the Bible of John chapter 3, verse 16. You see, Peter must see the gospel is for everyone. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whosoever, that means everybody, whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile. I cackle a little bit because oftentimes folks have come to me and they said, you know, am I a Gentile? Because they hear these type things and they hear, well, you know, they believe that the gospel wasn't for the Gentiles back in those New Testament days in the early going of the church. And my question was simply this. I'd ask them, I said, well, are you Jewish? And they're like, well, no, I'm not a Jew. I said, then you're a Gentile. So yeah, that one's real easy to kind of define, as it were, along the way. So now Peter has to see that the gospel is for everyone, not just for the Jewish community. He must remove the limits on his witnessing. In other words, you know, his meetings need to be in a place where there are Gentiles present. He needs to have some specific focus to reach out to all people, including those Gentiles, no matter where he goes and what he does. I can only imagine what this must have been like for Peter. And I say that because, man, I tell you one thing, we resist change. Change is something that is hard for us. You got to remember that they had been listening to what the Old Testament prophets had to say all through time, and that Jesus, and they knew what Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not, his own being the Jewish community. And I want to interject something here because I've had this question a lot in my ministry. They said, well, if the Jews would have actually accepted Christ as the Savior when he walked among them, would salvation be for the Gentiles? Now, I'm going to speculate on something here for just a moment. I believe with all my heart that the answer to that question is that yes, salvation still would have been even to the Gentile. What I believe is that if the Jews, if Israel would have accepted Christ and done what they were supposed to do, then they would have become the evangelical witnessing force even to the Gentiles. Yeah, why do I say that? Because the word also tells us that he would that none should perish. It doesn't say he would that none of the Jewish community perish. He said, I would that none, meaning all inclusive, should perish. So Peter's given this vision to go beyond just the reaches of the Jewish people and to begin to share the plan of salvation with those who are Gentiles as well. And he begins to have to see the gospel is for everyone and has to remove those limits of his witness. Now, let me ask you this question. What limits your witnessing horizons? Who is it that maybe you are excluding from God's grace? I know every one of us, if we sit back and if we think about this for a moment, we can think of some places that we probably do not bring forth our spirituality, that we don't bring forth our Christian witness. You know, when some folks that I've spoken with, as I mentioned a little while ago, they're like, well, you know, when I'm on this business meeting and I'm with the upper echelon of the company, you know, I'm kind of hesitant to be able to say anything because I don't want them to think I'm weird, or I don't want them to think, you know, that I'm some religious holy roller or what have you. But yet you'd be more than happy to go out and witness to the guy that's living under the bridge by the highway. Why? Because you're not worried about impressing him, when oftentimes you're worried about what other people are going to think of you when their socioeconomic level may be either equal to yours or higher than yours. Think about that for a moment and ask yourself the question, what are the limits that I am placing on my witnessing horizon? Who are the people or who are the groups that I am excluding from the grace of God and the message of salvation? Okay, so what happens as our story continues in Acts chapter 10 is that God gives Peter reasons to broaden his witness. Now, all of us, you know, we like to ask why. I like to call that the kids phase. You know, your children go through that phase when everything they ask you is why. Lord, why do I do this? Or mom, you know, mom or dad, you'll tell your children to do something, they'll be like, why? And you just keep hearing why. Well, those inquisitive minds want to know. Well, the Holy Spirit gave Peter guidance concerning those that were going to be coming from Cornelius. Remember in our text, Cornelius is said to send two people to Peter. And in other words, they're going to bring Peter back. Cornelius wants them to bring Peter back. Remember what I said when we started our Bible study, that no matter what's going to take place, the Holy Spirit has already gone on before you to prepare the road and to make a way that God's will can be done. So the Holy Spirit gives Peter some guidance concerning those that would be sent from Cornelius. These were prospects for broadening his witness. Now, I like what it says, and let me see if I can find the passage real quick. It's actually in verse 19. It says, while Peter thought about the vision, this was the vision from the Lord. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. In other words, he's sitting there saying, you're going to be getting a visit from three men. They're coming to talk to you. They're coming to see you. Yeah. In other words, the Holy Spirit was already laying the plan. The Holy Spirit was already preparing Peter for the fact that there were going to be some men that were coming to visit him. Behold, three men seek you. Successful witnessing begins in faith. What was it that essentially he was told? Let me go back to that verse again. It says, the latter part of verse 19, behold, three men are seeking you. Here was what the instruction that followed. In verse 20, it says, arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. In other words, Peter has already had a messenger come and say, there's three guys that are going to come to see you. Go with them. They're going to ask you to come with them. Go with them. Don't doubt anything. Just go, because I have sent them. Did you get that? The Lord said, I have sent them. So Peter learned about the work of God in the life of Cornelius. Okay, he found out about the character of Cornelius. Peter went with him. He went back, had that chance to talk with Cornelius. You know, he was told of God's warning to Cornelius that it needed to be more than works. In other words, Cornelius was thinking that he was going to see the kingdom of heaven because he did good works. Yeah, he gave alms. Yeah, he prayed. He did these things, and yet there was something huge that was missing, and that was Jesus Christ. That is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And folks, that same message holds forth today. There are so many people that are seeking, they're seeking something, and they think, well, just because I'm a good person and I feel good and I have the warm fuzzies, then certainly God's not going to send me to hell because of that. Folks, let me tell you something. Heaven's not going to be full of people who do good. Heaven is going to be full of people who are saved. And likewise, hell is going to be full of people who did good because they thought salvation was something other than Jesus Christ. They thought it was good works. They thought that it was something that they could do. They thought that they could gain favor with God by being a good person, a nice person, a generous person, or whatever. Man, you can still bust the gates of hell wide open simply because you don't have Jesus. And that was what Peter was there to tell Cornelius. He's like, look, man, you're a good guy. You're doing all kinds of good things, but you're doing it for all the wrong reasons. It's like that old expression, Cornelius, you are sincere, but you are sincerely lost, and you need Jesus Christ. He is the way to salvation. See, he was told of God's warning, Peter was, to Cornelius, and that he needed to be something more than just works. And Cornelius, I love this part. Cornelius had a crowd waiting when Peter arrived. Let me carry you over to verse 24. Verse 24 says this, and the following day they entered Caesarea. Now this is, you remember the three have gone to fetch Peter. They're coming back to meet Cornelius. They're coming into the city. And this is verse 24. It says, in the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Isn't that cool? You know, Cornelius is sitting back going, hey, look, man, Peter's going to be arriving shortly. I want you guys to hear about this too. There's something that I want you to hear. This guy, the Lord said to have him come up here and have him talk to us. I don't want to just hear it for myself. I want my family and I want my friends to hear about it. Man, isn't that cool? Is that the way it is with you? When you consider your life, when you consider that you have salvation, do you not want your friends and family to be a part of that as well? So when Peter shows up, Cornelius has this crowd that's waiting. And this, think about it from the other side. Think about it from Peter's side. Peter all of a sudden has an opportunity to go and share the true gospel with Cornelius. And when he shows up, there's even more people there. So his witness is even increased to a higher level. There's more people there to hear the message of Jesus. Folks, that's the way the Holy Spirit works. That's the way it worked then, and it still works that way today. The Lord has already gone before you. He has prepared the way if we will only be faithful and obedient. So when Peter goes in and Peter begins to share with him, Cornelius was receptive to Peter and his message. Verse 25 gives evidence of that. And Peter explains God's work in his heart that prepared him to witness in verses 26 through 29. You know, Peter's sitting there going, hey, look, man, you know what? Here's what happened in my life that even made me ready and prepared for this. And even if you think about it, when he sits back and he probably shared with Cornelius, he said, you know, I was there and the Holy Spirit came and told me there were three guys that were going to come see me. And then all of a sudden your three guys showed up and said, come with me. And the Lord told me to go with them. And here I am. And there's a sense of excitement when you begin to see God's plan unfold in reality right in front of you. So Peter explains God's work in his heart that prepared him to be the witness that he would be to Cornelius and his friends and his family. And by the same token, in verses 30 through 33, Cornelius explains God's work in his life that prepared him to hear the gospel message. Do you see how all this is fitting together? You know, God prepared a sinner and God prepared a witness, and he took care of every aspect to make sure that they got together so that they could share their story, so that the gospel message could be shared, so that salvation would become possible for those who didn't know him and for those that were confused about what salvation was all about. Man, isn't that great? You know, when God moves us to witness, he prepares our hearers to receive that message. You know, he's already been working in the hearts and the lives of people who will hear the message. He's already been working in the hearts and lives of those of you who are watching this broadcast right now who need to hear this message. The Holy Spirit has already gone before these words that are coming out of my mouth, because the words coming out of my mouth are the words that the Lord has placed for you to be able to hear. You see, the Holy Spirit's on both sides of that. The one who carries the message and the one who receives the message. You know, once you receive the message, God calls you to be the carrier of the message, and he will make preparation as you go forward. And then, folks, God also grants Peter some results from his broadened witness. In verses 34 through 38, Peter presents the gospel, the true gospel message to Cornelius. That's in verses 34 through 43. He explains the basics of God's salvation. You know, basically that is the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. And through the resurrection, death, sin, and hell has been conquered, but you need to receive Jesus. Not just a head knowledge, not just to know about him, but to know him, to have that personal walk with him. And that's what the Lord wants of each and every one of us. He doesn't want you to just be able to give a book report or a history lesson about him. He wants to walk with you and talk with you and be with you every day and be part of your decision making. And he wants to lead you and guide you, because he's got a plan for your life. And it really is a great plan when you get on God's page with what it is that he wants for you. Yeah, Peter not only explained the basics of God's salvation, but he tells them of that death and resurrection of Christ. And Peter quotes the prophets and the promise of salvation by faith. Remember, they were big time steeped in the law. It hadn't long since been when they went from law to grace. In other words, that back in under the law, there had to be animal sacrifices and shed blood of animals for the remission of sins, and it had to be done repeatedly and over again. But Jesus Christ in the New Testament is our once for one and all perfect sacrifice. You know, so there was a change from Old Testament law to New Testament grace. Now, that doesn't mean that you just completely throw the law out by any means, but that's another message for another day. But Peter was quoting the prophets that they had heard and that they had believed in about the coming Messiah and the promise of salvation by faith. And when he sent that message out, Cornelius and his friends are converted. Let me carry you over to verses 44 through 48 that say this. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the words, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Did you get that? On the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay for a few days. You see what happened? God had already prepared the hearer. He had already prepared the speaker with the gospel message. And he is doing that today. He is doing that for you and I. And when Peter followed by example, when he paid attention, when he was obedient to the Lord, he went, he shared the plan of salvation. Cornelius and his friends and his family were converted to Christ. And by the way, if you're a believer, you'll have an opportunity to sit down and converse with them someday in the kingdom of heaven. And really interesting enough, what happens there in verse 48 that we read, there was celebration. Joy and fellowship follow effective witnessing. Man, could you imagine what it's like? We need to celebrate the victories that God brings about in our lives. And we need to celebrate his victories as we go forward. You know, I like one of my cohort leaders always says this. He says, we replicate what we celebrate. So when God does some incredible things, we need to celebrate those things. And I hope and pray that you see that as well. Celebrate the things that God is doing in your life and in the lives of other people. You see, a whole new world of witnessing opened up to Peter when he realized that salvation wasn't just for the Jews, but it was also for the Gentiles. And God wants us to broaden the scope of our witnessing as we go forward today. I want to encourage you and challenge you to look at the people that you come in constant contact with. Look at those. I'm going to start right here. Look at those family members. Now, people tell me all the time, man, it's hard for me to witness to my family. Those should be the easiest people to witness to because they have to accept you. I've said you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. But the other part of that is, do you love them enough that you don't want to see them die and go to hell? If you do, it will create within you a burden, and a burden will move you to action. The same will hold true for that neighbor, the one that you see quite often, particularly in the summertime, the ones that are walking the neighborhood or walking the dog or the ones that are mowing their lawn. You know, have you prayed for their salvation? Have you had that opportunity to begin to formulate a relationship by which you can share Jesus with them? You know, broaden your witness, open up a whole new world, and understand that as you do that, the Holy Spirit has already gone on before you, and He will prepare you for those times when you will have those opportunities to share what God's done in your life. You see, God wants to broaden the scope of your witness in the same way that He wanted to broaden the scope of Peter's witness in our passages of Acts chapter 10 today. There is joy for every believer in increased outreach. You know, according to Psalm 126:6, when you get a chance, go back and take a look at that. So where do you stand today? What is it that the Lord has put on your heart in regard to the fact that you need to broaden your witness? Who are those people that the Lord laid on your heart and laid on your mind? And as you begin to pray for them and God prepares you, understand that He is in the process of preparing their heart to be able to hear the good news that you will carry to them. And what a joy that is. And sometimes people say, well, you just don't know my friends and family. Well, I don't know your friends and family, but let me tell you what I do know. I do know that the Lord says this: the field is ripe unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the field. That tells me that there's a field that's ripe for the picking, and all we have to do is go out there and be faithful to share that gospel message. And when people hear it, the Lord's already prepared their heart, and they will surrender to Christ. Man, I tell you, that seems like easy pickings. And like some of y'all say, well, it's always easier said than done. Maybe that's true, but we've never done better than when we've tried. So I'm going to have a word of prayer here with you. This week, I'm not necessarily going to give you a passage of scripture to look over because this week we're heading into Labor Day weekend. And what I want us to do is next week, I want us to look at concepts of Labor Day as we head into that particular Labor Day weekend. And there'll probably be some various passages as we discuss what are the concepts of Labor Day. Why is it that we celebrate that, and what does that have to do with God's Word? So be sure to keep up with your daily Bible readings. I'm not giving you something specific this week, but I promise you I'll come back with something next week. But keep with the Word, and I'll see you right here next week. Let's have a word of prayer as we close today. Father, as we come to you now, I praise you and I thank you for the fact that you did not exclude anybody from salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray right now that you will help us to open our eyes. Lord, that you want, as you want to broaden our witness, that you will help us to look around at the friends and the family and the co-workers and the people that are in our midst that we need to reach out to with the gospel message. Lord, I pray that you will fill our hearts with the fact that you are preparing us, and Lord, that you are also preparing the hearer to be able to hear this message. And then, Lord, I pray you'll give us the courage to speak your word as only you can speak it through us. And we'll be careful to praise you for it, Father, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, listen, folks, I want to thank you again for taking the time to stop by and join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I would love to see you this coming Sunday morning if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge area. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North. If you are familiar with the area, we are right across Highway 68 from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. Our services start at 10:45, and we do have other opportunities for discipleship and Bible study throughout the week. But come on down and join us, and be sure to introduce yourself if you make it our way this Sunday. I pray that the Lord will bless you, that He'll look after you, and I pray that we have an opportunity to meet this coming Sunday. God bless. Have a great week.